Welcome to this episode of Shoulder to Shoulder, where we strive to grow in love of the Lord and each other. I'm Pam Marvin.
And I'm Megan Silas.
And we are overjoyed to be in the seats, just having a conversation, just friends who love one another and really desire to bring our love of the Lord to the listeners. And we feel very honored to be in these seats.
Amen.
Would you agree?
Amen. Yeah. Although I would be concerned if that Pam was suffering a significant depression if she ever said, "We're happy to be here." She's always overjoyed. I love your enthusiasm.
Oh, I am. You know, yeah. I like that adjective a lot because you don't see a lot of it these days.
That is true.
Being overjoyed. And
well, then I also have to ask the question, though.
Yeah.
Is overjoyed really something you can be? Can you be
overjoyed? Oh, see? I know. That's a very good question.
I wonder where that term came from.
Yeah. Well, I think that just means bursting with joy.
Nope. Well, maybe you should start saying that. I'm bursting with joy.
Yeah, bursting with joy.
Well, so we are bursting with joy because it's always such a pleasure to be here. And
it's great.
Yeah, yeah. What an honor. What a privilege.
It really is. And we want to say thank you to KEDC.
Red Sea Catholic Radio.
Red Sea Catholic Radio. If you... this show blesses you at all, and you'd like to give a contribution to this radio station who support us wholeheartedly and financially in every way, please go on to hop on to redsearadio.org to give a donation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's always so much a blessing to us to not have to be in this situation that we've got to be constantly asking for people to like support us on Patreon and all
buy
these
our
sort
merch.
Of things. Yeah, buy our, you know, or just like become a subscriber, yeah. Become a member sort of so that yeah. We can keep the lights on. You know, we're just so blessed by the generosity of Red Sea Catholic Radio that allows us to record and does really all the hard work. We just sit here and chit chat and then, you know, Caleb and others have to deal
behind
with getting it on,
that's right.
On the line and everything. And also Caleb, he's actually going to be a big part of our little show today. So I will say that he reminded me that he's going to be putting the videos on YouTube more and more frequently now. So if you're the type of person who really prefers to have a visual while you're listening to a podcast, that is now increasingly available to you. Mm-hmm. So as I find I have gotten very accustomed to listening to my voice. I have not become accustomed to watching my face. So yeah. I'm still working on getting used to that. But, you know, check it out. It's kind of fun. I know that I make some pretty funny facial expressions. So,
oh, I love it.
You know,
you get to see all the fun antics of the Italian influence with the hands.
Oh, gosh.
And
a couple episodes
so
ago,
great. She's bumping and playing on everything.
I was I hit my phone like twice. I said, oh, darn it. But anyway, so
that's what those sounds are. So.
Yeah, so it is kind of fun years, you know, to put a face to a name, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
So I invite you to check out YouTube at Red Sea Catholic Radio and Shoulder to Shoulder. If you search for Shoulder, the number two, Shoulder podcast, you'll find us on there. So.
Absolutely.
All right, great. And another reason why Caleb is big today is because our last episode, we were, you know, begging y'all to give us some show topic ideas. And so, you know, we're like, Caleb, you got any ideas? And so he came up with one. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. It's kind of like trying to understand how we can embrace the things of our past that were joyful to us, but kind of leave behind the things maybe that
we're sinful.
We're sinful or just, you know, parts that we aren't so proud of maybe.
Right.
Because we all grow and we all mm-hmm. come to understand ourselves more fully. And certainly, hopefully we're all going through a process of conversion. That we're growing in holiness throughout our lives. And so sometimes we're going to look back on our past selves and say, wow, this is the phrase I often use. Yeah, I was kind of off the rails then.
Well, I do think we talked about St. Augustine too, not actually being the author of the name of the title of this actual podcast, which is... Every saint has...
A past.
Every sinner has a future.
Right.
A tribute to
Oscar Wilde.
Right.
I had heard people attribute it to Augustine, and, you know, Pam and Caleb had both heard it attributed to Oscar Wilde. We did a little Google search and we found that while there were a couple attributions to Augustine, the vast majority was Oscar Wilde. So we're going with Oscar Wilde.
As the author of it, but I think Augustine is absolutely the best example of it.
He is a great example. You know, he's a great example, but honestly, like, the truth is so many saints have the example of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, Saint Francis was kind of, you know, running after the ladies and really into his own, you know,
for sure.
Self. Saint Ignatius wasn't exactly a pillar of virtue. You know, there's just a lot of, you know, but conversion is, it's such a big part of, well, Saint Paul.
Holy moly.
Right now I'm reading a fictional novel about Saint Paul. So basically the premise is taking what we know of Saint Paul in scripture and of his life and giving him this huge elaborate backstory, which is totally fictionalized. There's no sense that it's any way true, but the author, I think, has done very good research to be faithful to not contradicting anything that would be in scripture, but using some very clever sort of things to kind of say, well, maybe this is what happened. And I'm really, really enjoying it. And so it's kind of relevant to the topic because, you know, obviously Paul goes through this huge conversion in his life, and there was stuff that he was up to prior to his conversion that was really bad. And so if anyone wants to read that book, it's by an author named Taylor Caldwell, and it's called The Great Lion of God. Great Lion of God. Yeah. So I've been really enjoying it.
Good, good. You know, as you're saying that about St. Paul, I just kind of feel like we need to say that some people do have those St. Paul moments, as we could call them. I think, Megan, you had a very similar big moment.
For sure.
Mine has not been that way. Mine has been a slow crescendo through the years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, finding the truth in the Catholic Church and then learning. And the more I learn, the more it grows, the more converted I am. So I didn't have that little aha moment. So if that's your story too, then that's okay. That's your story, you know.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us are envious of those of you that have these supernatural experiences and have those huge conversions, like the scales falling from your eyes. But I think maybe the majority of us have these slow crescendos of conversion and reversion over time. I mean,
sure,
the back and forth. So yeah, let's talk about it.
Well, I think also, even if you're taking it out of the spiritual realm, there's parts of ourselves that we recognize, wow, I was really immature back then. You know, I really was acting in a way that was so, well, maybe it was selfish, or maybe it was just childish, silly, materialistic, whatever. And so the hope in life, right, is that we're going to progress towards greater levels of human maturity and spiritual righteousness. So these two parts of ourselves, you know, the spiritual and, say, the psychological, you know, that ideally we're growing. And so I think that's the first place to start when you're starting to make this sort of journey of saying, how can I not, like, totally condemn the person of myself in the past and have to put away everything of the past, and in order to, you know, be the person I want to be now, is this recognition of course you weren't who you are in the past. Why would you expect that you should be? And that you were who you were then, and maybe your understanding of life, your experiences that you had led you to be that person who wasn't as well informed about deeper truths, more significant realities. And so I would say the first place to come at looking at your past is with mercy.
Right.
You know, and not be like, oh my gosh, I was such an idiot, or I was so sinful, but just be like, you know what? I was less well informed.
So true. But I tell you, for me, I just, as a convert, really love the sacrament of confession. I was horrified and shaking for my first confession because of my own sinfulness. Mm-hmm. But since then, I have so much embraced the sacrament of, and it is a sacrament of healing. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, that has really been the case with me to find a lot of, that I still have a lot to go, but I've found so much healing in there. So when I look back on my younger self, I look back on my woundedness that, I worked from a place of woundedness. I reacted to things mm-hmm. from a place of woundedness and unknowing, like you said, I was just unaware of a better way or better path. And so, I don't know, I just have a lot of mercy on myself for what's in the past, because you can't change it. It is. It's my story. It's made me who I am. Mm-hmm. Am I embarrassed by lots of it? Sure. You know, I'm like, I'm really sad. Like I was saying earlier, if I ran into some old high school friends that I hadn't seen in 30 years, I'd be a little bit embarrassed, thinking about, oh, I know all those things they're thinking about me right now, which is nothing like who I am today.
You know, I like, as you said, the sacrament of confession, because, I was talking, also about having mercy on yourself and your, immaturity maybe at the time, or your lack of understanding of things, but ultimately receiving God's mercy is actually the place where we move out of shame and into that place of freedom. And so it's always beautiful to me. Say you've got a situation where somebody has a circumstance in the past where they engage in a gravely sinful act. Say for example, a woman who's post-abortive, she, had a child in her womb killed. And this becomes this place of shame and pain and deep woundedness. But then sometimes you'll see a woman who had that experience go through a process of healing, receive God's mercy and forgiveness, receive deeper understanding about the good she was actually seeking, even though she did it in a way that was bad, right? She sought it in the wrong place, but that there was a good that she was seeking. But then to receive that mercy, to receive that forgiveness, and then to be able to then talk about what happened in a place of freedom mm-hmm. and say, yes, I had an abortion, but I now understand that I did that because I didn't know that God's loving support was there for me. I didn't know that he would never forsake me. I had all these realities in that time that caused me to make a bad choice, but now I know him who is goodness and truth and beauty, and I've received his love and his forgiveness. And so I no longer have to run away from that. And I can even talk about it in a place of freedom so that, I can even potentially bless others through it. And so that place of looking at your past and saying, okay, maybe I was doing something in the wrong way, but I was seeking a good in that behavior. What's the good I was seeking? And then when you acknowledge that, you can say, okay, that's a legitimate good. And I can acknowledge that was my true deepest motivation, mm-hmm. even in that sinful behavior.
Yes.
And so you see the good in yourself, even in the bad. And that's, I think, a way that you can move into that place of not completely jettisoning everything.
I have a story about this. Listen, I've really enjoyed the Chris Stefanik podcast, but it's on YouTube, so you can watch him.
And what is it called? Is it just called the Chris Stefanik Show?
I think so. So he was interviewing the priest at the Catholic Center in University of Colorado, Buffs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. University of Colorado is the Buffs.
Okay.
Yes.
The Buffaloes. And it was a very fascinating discussion on the use of marijuana.
Okay.
And I just was captivated by what he was saying, which goes exactly to your point of the seeking a higher good. Mm-hmm. So he said basically that when these, let's say the college students have these issues with smoking a lot of marijuana, although legal, they're searching for something. They're mm-hmm. searching for something beyond themselves, a tranquility, a peace that goes way beyond themselves. He says they're really searching for God.
Mm-hmm.
in searching through this, you know, the use of marijuana. And I'd never heard it put that way. And so many of us, I think that, you know, when we're trying to feel better, we'll go to the things of the world instead of straight to the ruler of the world that brings all peace and understanding. But I thought that was a very fascinating point that, you know, if you have an addiction, maybe someone listening now that is really struggles with the use of marijuana, that you are seeking a higher good, but it's not in a chemical, it's in the Lord.
Yeah. I would like to address, though, that sometimes while we desire to, you know, acknowledge the truths of ourselves in the past, we can get caught up in struggling to forgive ourselves for things that we did in the past, or that phrase, I should have known better.
Oh, goodness.
You know, can really be an obstacle to full flourishing, to living in the freedom of the Lord. But, and so I think it's maybe worthwhile to take a look at that, that idea of I should have known better, because the question I would have is, what makes you think you should have known better? Right? Because it's easy to look with this, you know how they say hindsight is 20/20. Well, we are looking back on a circumstance with the eyes of an adult, the eyes of understanding that come from a lot of life experiences, perhaps a deeper walk with the Lord. And so while you certainly wish you had known better back then, maybe, especially if an experience had a negative impact on you, this idea that you should have, it keeps you in a place of blaming yourself for things to a level of culpability that you didn't really have. Now, I'm not saying that you don't always have culpability to a degree for the choices that you make, but there are ranges in your culpability for things. Now, so say you're looking back on a memory and you were doing something sinful and you were, with full knowledge and consent of your will, choosing to do something sinful for the purpose of sinning. Well, now, wow, that's pretty significant. But how many of us actually do that? You know, like if you're going along as a teenager and, you know, you're just trying to have fun. You're just trying to relate to your friends. You're just going along to get along. And the experience that you may be engaging with was maybe not the most wholesome or, you know, moral necessarily, but it did actually accomplish a good that you were seeking, which was joy in relationship and sense of community, sense of belonging. Okay. You know, you didn't know any better. And so you can say, I enjoyed that sense of unity with my fellows or friends, you know, and I appreciated that aspect of it. Would I do it the same now? No, I wouldn't. I'd choose to seek it in a holier, healthier way. But you don't have to throw out the good with the bad. You can keep the good.
Yeah,
and I think we should always try to do that, because I think the enemy wants us to throw away the goods. Because the funny thing about the enemy is, as we grow in holiness, he's got to get trickier, right?
It's true.
Because we don't want to do those sinful stuff anymore. We're not tempted to the mortal sins and the deeply, you know, objectionable things. Like, they don't hold any allure to us anymore.
Right, right.
So what he then has to do is try to get us to throw out good things, things that are actually good, but like moving our brain into this idea of like judgment or shaming or all this sort of stuff that like, oh, well, you'll be holier if, or, you know, you, this kind of idea that in my pride, I'm going to like deny a whole bunch of stuff because, you know, I'm better than that, or whatever. And it's like, don't let him make you throw out things that are truly good, even if they weren't always done perfectly mm-hmm. in the most holy mm-hmm. fashion. You know, we can still hold to those things that God blessed us, even in our, you know, less than perfect ways, you know, the ways that he wrote straight with our crooked lines.
There you go. I like that. Yeah. I can really see that. And what comes to mind too is the friendships we made during those times as well. I mean, some of them, I think in my personal experience, some of them were meant to let go of because just definitely not a great influence. But there's some of them that have just stayed so close to my heart and mind all these years later. You know, these are my childhood friends, college friends that I still love and want to be a part of their lives, but always discerning whether that's what Christ wants for me, really, truly.
Right. And you never know, like, say you're a person who, you know, ran with a crowd, maybe who was a little unsavory in the past or whatever. And and now you've kind of grown into more of a mature Christian and you're really wanting to live by God's will, but you still have maintained those relationships to a degree. Those very bad experiences, bad, I'm not going to say bad, but those very real, shall we say, experiences you had in the past might actually be the things that allow them to hear your witness now.
Mm.
You know, it's that intimacy that was forged in this idea that, you know, we had these experiences together and I know you're a real person. I know that you're not just some sanctimonious, you know, sitting on the judgment seat kind of person. Can open them up to hear the ways that the Lord's changed your heart. And if you don't feel like you have to reject everything of the past, that you can say, yeah, we had some good times, but now I'm experiencing an even deeper joy, an even deeper enjoyment of life in this new way of thinking.
So you mean all things work for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose?
They certainly can.
Yes.
That's for sure.
So I really hold to that scripture a lot these days. And from my past too, that I am the person I am because of my past, mm-hmm. the way I was, my upbringing and everything that goes along with it. And God can bring good out of all of it. And we should always remember that too. He will bring good of it. We just got to give it to him.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, before we finish up, let's do a little temperature check where we call to mind maybe a certain action or something in the past that you feel like, I don't like that one. I don't want to remember it, but there is something good that you remember about it. And we don't have to share the details, but just as you think about it, like what kind of feelings come to you? Okay, so there's a very specific memory that comes to mind, and I am not going to share it.
Okay.
Because now if we were in one-on-one conversation, I would, but it involves more than just myself. So anyway, and I look back on it, and it was during a time in my life where I was away from God. I was not in the best situation as far as how I was relating to my husband. There was definitely some resentment that I had allowed to build up in my heart. And I was really looking to run away, I think, mm-hmm. from the realities of my circumstance at the time. And so when I think back on it, the behavior that I engaged in was certainly not in God's will.
Right.
Totally. Straight up. But when I look back on it and I think, okay, I asked myself that question, what was the good I was seeking? And what I was seeking was this feeling of escape.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Freedom from the circumstances that I was in. Just to not think about all that junk, you know? And so what I take from it is, even though I wasn't able to fully recognize it at the time, I was really, really suffering from the lack of just really feeling loved and cherished. And so that obviously is a good, right? To feel loved and cherished. In case anyone's listening, I didn't cheat on my spouse, so just to make sure. So looking on that, it just really is making me realize how much the Lord has poured His love into my heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You know, and so I'm thinking that, you know, there's that for the Lord has poured His love into our hearts through the gift of the Holy Spirit, that consoler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was so ordered towards thinking I needed to get it all. I need to figure it all out myself. I needed to grasp for good, because no good was going to be coming to me just by nature of who I am. Like, I had to seek it, right? And so to just look back and be like, wow, you know, I was seeking it in the wrong ways, but such gratitude for the healing that the Lord's done since then, and the love He's poured in my hearts, and the way He's made me so much more free to experience His love and free to share His love. Like, I was loving out of, you know, other people and stuff, and out of need, not out of freedom. And so it's such a great reminder to me. So it's like, I don't want to forget that. I don't want to put it away. And I'm actually more than willing to talk about it with people in a personal way. So if that's going to help them to open their eyes to maybe ways that they're seeking things that really should only come to God, from God, you know, because while we weren't going to misattribute the title of the show, this episode, to St. Augustine, we, you know, can invoke him as we say, you know, our hearts are restless until they rest in thee, O Lord. Yes. You know, and I was in a restless place. It's just a really restless place.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Mine is kind of twofold. My temperature check about twofold. When I look at, especially my younger years, you know, before I was Catholic, before I really knew much of the faith, I was uncatechized. I mean, I didn't even know any better. Mm-hmm. So I give myself a lot of grace and mercy there, because I didn't know any better in my partying days, let's say that. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know any better. However, as I got older and more into my faith, I would say the things that they kind of like hurt my heart a little bit still is, you know, just in my mothering, things that I would have liked to have done better, not in themselves sinful, but I do still carry some of that baggage thinking, oh, I'm going to have to pay for that one day because I should have been better over here. Like, you know, maybe I was too selfish, you know, or maybe I let my anger get away from me, or, you know, things like that still kind of bother me in itself, you know, that I want to let go of. Maybe I need to go confess it again, because you can
do
that.
No, you do not need to confess it again. Now, if you want to do a live confession and, you know, just go over stuff, but in order to receive forgiveness, you don't need to confess it again.
No, for sure. But I've noticed, I mean, let's talk about, what do they call it? General confession?
Mm-hmm.
Or did you say life confession? Is that what you said?
I said general confession, but life confession is another way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I think is wonderful. I've done it actually twice.
Mm-hmm.
And really felt like the healing in the second one was even better than the first.
Yeah. I think what it does is it allows you to see some patterns of sinfulness. And I think also the Lord, He reveals things to us over time.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we didn't perceive necessarily as sinful in the past, when we go through that process of a general examination of our entire lives, sometimes He'll reveal new things to us. And that's always a blessing, right? Because you know what? If we get to confess some stuff that we didn't remember or whatever, like, hey, that's a beautiful healing.
It's like this little parasite that kind of hangs on to you and eats away at you, and you're not that aware of it. It's unseen, unknown, that you can confess that and get rid of it.
Right.
So let's go to confession and get dewormed.
Yeah. But I would just say, you know, looking back on this as we're like looking at the the past of our more saintly selves now. It's just mercy. Have mercy on ourselves and allow us to receive Christ's mercy for the mistakes of the past, but also don't let the enemy make us throw away goods, even though, you know, maybe they weren't always done in the best context. Mm-hmm. But then I think finally, though, don't ever forget that the second part, which is every sinner has a future, which means while we may be saintlier than our past selves, we're still sinners now. And there's still plenty of sins that we get ourselves up to. So let's not sit too much in the judgment seat of our past, because, you know.
Or others' past.
Right. Actually, very true. Yeah. Because the trouble of the day is sufficient unto itself, right?
Amen. So true.
All right. Well, we hope that this has been a blessing to you. We certainly are blessed by y'all tuning in. And we just we'll look forward to what God leads us to chit chat about next time. But again, if you have an idea about something that you'd like us to have a little friendly conversation about,
go look us up on Facebook at Shoulder Number Two Shoulder.
That's right. And we'll look forward to being back with you next time. I hope until then you'll remain united with us in prayer. God bless.